I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
And welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on a visit to Hastings, the historic seaside town in East Sussex. A Saxon charter of AD 875 shows the first recorded instance of the town's name as Hagensteng, meaning high stone. This was a large ceremonial stone where, in celebration of the winter solstice, all the virgins of the town would gather wearing crowns of mistletoe. And you can still occasionally find mistletoe here. The Blue Reef Aquarium in Hastings includes Britain's biggest collection of nurse sharks. They're known as nurse sharks because they have to do lap dancing at weekends if they want to get fed. And it was there that it was discovered that the only mammal other than humans to actually enjoy sex is the dolphin. The keeper who made the discovery has asked us not to give his name. Nearby is the natural feature called Beachy Head, which at 531 feet above sea level is the highest chalk sea cliff in Britain. It is also one of the most famous suicide spots in the world, second only to the Golden Gate Bridge, with over 20 deaths a year. What a depressing statistic. Second. We are today guests at the White Rock Theatre in Hastings, which has 1,066 seats. This venue shouldn't be confused with the 1,939-seat White Flag Theatre in Paris. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Miles Jupp. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Well, we start this week with a look at unsuccessful book titles. As we all know, the world of publishing has undergone seismic technological changes, from e-books that can be found online to Kindles that can be found on South African birthday cakes. Not all books are assured of success, so teams, I'd like you please to suggest titles of books that would be guaranteed to flop. Tim, you can start.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Commerce.
Miles.
There's Wally.
Graham.
Tolstoy's Annika Rice.
Barry.
Lady Chatterley's mother.
Three men and a goat.
We need to keep shtum about Kevin.
A sale of two titties.
The caterpillar who'd already eaten, thanks.
Lady Chatterley's loofah.
The visible man.
Toss of the d'Urbervilles.
Well, now to a round called One Song to the Tune of Another. As a musical round, it'll play to the strengths of our own Barry Cryer, who for many years was the pantaloon-clad frontman of 70s prog rock giants Emerson, Lakeside, Thurrock. So we'll start with you, Barry, please. I'd like you to sing the words of Nymphs and Shepherds by Henry Purcell to the tune of Lee Marvin's Wandering Star.
Nymphs and shepherds, come away, come away. Come, come, come. Come away, come away. In this grove, let's sport and play. Let's sport and play, let's sport and play. For this is, Flora's holiday. This is Flora's holiday.
Very good. Thank you, Barry. Well, you enjoyed that, but try walking him home at 2 a.m. when he's doing it. You now, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of Barbie Girl by Aqua to the tune of We'll Gather Lilacs.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation. I'm a blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. Dress me up, make it tight, I'm your dolly. You're my doll, rock and roll, feel the glamour in pink. Kiss me here, touch me there, hanky panky.
Your turn now, Graham, and I'd like you to sing the words of Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel to the tune of the Morecambe and Wise classic Bring Me Sunshine.
Well, since my bae, a bee left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel. You make me so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I get so lonely, I could die. And although it's always crowded, you can still find some room where broken-hearted lovers do cry away in the gloom. You make me so lonely.
And finally, Miles, I'd like you to sing the words of the Marrow Song to the tune of Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero.
Do-do-do-do. 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 Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. It must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely colour and nice and round and fat. Oh, what a beauty! I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that. I've never seen one as big as that before. As that before.
So the next round is about autobiographies. It's a little known fact that most famous people employ ghostwriters to complete their autobiographies. Here's an example from Arthur Scargill's. See if you can spot the hand of the ghostwriter. Friday, May the 3rd, 1976, the Grimethorpe pit management are still refusing to refurb the bucket chain excavator for the fourth time of asking. Whoa. Okay, teams, I brought with me the first sentences of various celebrity autobiographies, each of which has been interrupted. And your job is to try to finish them off. So start with you, please, Tim. This is autobiography of Mary Berry, Recipe for Life. In the words of my father, my birth caused...
the bun to leave the oven.
Actually, no end of trouble. Miles, here's some words for you. This is Anne Widdecombe from her book, Strictly Anne, the autobiography. Twice in recent years, the makers of the television programme Who Do You Think You Are have approached me to see if...
I'd stop ringing them.
It's actually my ancestry might be sufficiently interesting for one of their programmes and have concluded that it is not. Barry, your autobiographical opening comes from Michael Caine. What's it all about? I first started to act at the age of...
58.
At the age of 3. And Graham, the opening from Rick Stein, Under a Mackerel Sky. I loved fishing off the rocks with my...
fellow members of the Euphemism Society.
With my dad. So, look, here are some for any of you to have a go at. This is the opening from Alan Carr, Look Who It Is, My Story. I remember running and touching a tree, any tree, and then running back to my father and then running to a tree that was a little further away and then...
wishing we had an indoor toilet.
And then back to my father and so on. This is from Adolf Hitler, from Mein Kampf. It has turned out fortunate for me today that...
my bar mitzvah has been postponed.
It's actually that Destiny appointed Bruno on the Inn to be my birthplace. This one is Sir Roger Moore, My Word Is My Bond, the autobiography. It was just after midnight on the 14th of October 1927 when Lily Moore gave birth to a 23-inch long...
raised eyebrow with a small baby attached.
actually, a baby boy at a maternity hospital in Stockwell, London, SW8. This is the opening words from Eminem, The Way I Am. I knew I wanted to be a rapper when I...
got a job in a gift shop.
when I was around 14... Here's the first line from Noel Coward's autobiography, Present Indicative. I was photographed naked on a cushion very early in...
the morning, having breakfast with a Moroccan sailor.
It actually says very early in life. And finally, Raymond Blanc, A Taste of My Life. When I was a child and it was summertime, my mother, Anne-Marie, would make a simple but delicious...
tart for the whole village.
Actually, tomato salad as well.
Close.
Okay, well, it's time for a round originally known as Duck Serenade, in which the teams will attempt to produce a duck version of some popular tunes. Each panellist has been issued with his own duck, which he has been specially training to provide an a cappella rendition of a well-known tune for the remaining panellists to guess. Now, if I deem any duck to be struggling to hold a tune, I'll ask Colin Sell to provide piano accompaniment. Coincidentally, Colin tells us that birds have played a pivotal role in his career. He says that once in 1974 he was prevented from playing the cello by a little thrush, so he took up the piano instead. Okay, so teams, do you all have your ducks with you?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. Right. Well, Tim, you're to start. Please encourage your duck to perform for us now, please. Before you take credit for that, Tim, they actually sing that song every night here in Hastings. Feeling still running high. Your turn now, Barry.
Bit of a celebrity, my duck, actually.
Is he?
Yeah, I call him Quack D. You know, he does an amazing act, Jack. He won't do it now because it's radio. He tap dances on a biscuit tin.
Does he really?
Goes so well until the night the candle went out. But here he goes. Come on, son.
Oh, Thank you, Barry. And I can tell you, I've got the answer here, and I still don't know.
He does experiment with rhythm, Jack. He's right. Got his own sense of rhythm.
His own sense of rhythm.
Could Colin help us out with this one?
Maybe Colin should help out a little bit with it, Jess. Can you...
Is there a vet in the house?
Did you get it this time? Did anyone get it?
He did it.
No
his
idea.
Way, I think.
My way.
It was my way, done well. Duck's way, really. Your turn, Miles. Your duck, Miles. Say sweet.
That is the best I've heard him do it.
Did anyone know what that was?
No, can we hear it again?
You might have to let us know what that was, Miles.
That was the popular song Let It Go from the film Frozen. I've not seen it, but my duck's a big fan.
No. So finally, it's Graham's turn. If you can get your duck ready and encourage... Thank you, Graham.
Old MacDonald had a duck, wasn't it?
It was Old MacDonald had a farm, of course it was. And of course the audience clapping along very nicely. I had my doubts when I saw all the coaches outside, but the next round is all about letters. In this game, each team will take it in turns to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures. With the players providing one word each at a time. So, Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from King Harold to William the Conqueror, and then Tim and Miles will come up with the reply and so on. So off you go, please, Barry and Graham.
Dear
William,
I am currently
worried
about
the
possibility
that
you
might
invade
this
land
of
ours.
Because
I
can
see
many
ships
and
in
my
estimation
there
must
be
a
100
of
them
or
more
maybe.
So
look
here,
if
I
get
drunk
will
you
postpone
the
invasion
just
for
me,
and
also
would
you
also
like
to
have
a
cup
of
tea
on
Tuesday
afternoon
or
Wednesday
afternoon
or
even
Friday
afternoon.
So,
how
about
it
if
you
do
come
from
France?
I
hope
we
will
have
a
barbecue.
Your
regal
chum,
Harry.
Couscous.
Dear
Arnold,
I
do
not
like
you
at
all.
You
silly,
stinky
English
bastard.
I
prefer
a
Welsh
woman.
Ideally,
one
called
Hilda.
My
wife
is
called
Harold.
Named
after
you.
It
is
my
pleasure
to
give
you
an
almighty
arrow
through
your
head.
But
also
I
would
like
to
give
you
one.
I
lied
about
that
wife
of
mine
who
was
called
Harold
because
she
is
actually
called
Bernard,
named
after
Mr.
Bernard
Cribbins.
So
lots
of
love
and
kisses.
Guillaume.
Well, the next game combines music and jokes, a combination perfected by 70s comedy funk titans Earth, Wind and Cryer. In this round, Colin will play a series of musical clues which fit together to form a well-known joke. And the teams must try to identify each clue in turn. The team which correctly identifies the joke will win. Okay, so fingers on buzzers, teams. Colin, can we have the first musical clue for the first joke, please? Tim.
Is that Dominica, the singing nun?
It is.
Well, it's the first joke I ever heard. Was what fun can a monk have? None. But it's not that, is it?
It's not that joke that we're heading towards, so we probably need a bit more. Can we have another clue, please, Colin? Graham?
I think that's driving in my car.
It is.
There was a nun driving her car, and a drunk blundered out into the road and nearly got run over, and she stopped the car, got out, and laid into him and told him a few home truths, and the drunk just knocked her out. And then he stood over and he said, "Not so tough now, are you, Batman?"
Can we have another music?
I think we may have another clue, please. Barry.
Two nuns driving in
a car. What was the music first?
Was it Monster Mash?
It was Monster Mash.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was very remiss of me there. Yeah. Two nuns driving along in a car, stopped at the lights. Dracula suddenly landed on the bonnet, and they were terrified. And one nun said to the other, "Show him your cross." She said, "All right, get off my bloody bonnet."
That's it. That's actually that's the joke we were headed towards, Barry. So you got it. Good. Let's hear another one. Colin, can you just play the first clue, please? Miles?
That's Tight Fits, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. A lion goes into a restaurant, he sits down, the waiter comes over and says, "Would you like to order a starter, sir?" And the lion says, "Yes, I'll have the salmon." "Very good," says the waiter, and then he says, "What would you like for your main?" And the lion says, "Oh, just a comb."
One more clue, please, Colin.
Sending the clowns.
Yeah. It was sending the clowns, not, yes.
Yeah. The owner of the circus says to this clown, the lion tamer's off sick. You know his whole act, you watch him do it. He said, yeah, OK. He said, if they start misbehaving, you crack the whip or push the chair. He said, yeah, but I've got to do it tonight, not you. He said, what if it really goes wrong? And he's really jumped off his pedestal and he's really coming at me. And the owner said, reach behind yourself, pick up a lump of poo and throw it in its face. He said, will there be poo behind me? He said, will there be poo?
It's not that one. We haven't got to the joke that we're after yet. So another clue, please.
Laughing Police.
It is, of course it is, yeah.
It's Tommy Cooper joke suddenly comes to mind. And police arrested two kids yesterday. One was drinking battery acid, the other was eating fireworks. And they charged one and let the other one off. See where I tell them.
So that wasn't the actual joke that I was hoping to get to. Anyone know what it is?
No. Is it the two lions were eating a clown? And one said to the other, does this taste funny to you?
It was that one, Graham. Yes, that's correct. Yes, sir.
What have the policemen got to do with it?
Oh, it's because it's funny, isn't it? They're funny.
Oh, that's the chorus. Oh.
Laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Laughing. You're right, that is misleading, because very rarely do you laugh at clowns. Which I see. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the sillet bang of time dissolves the stubborn gravy stain of destiny and the glade plug-in of eternity perfumes the living room of existence, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha and myself and our audience here in Hastings, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Miles Jupp have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.